Grace and peace through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who will come again to judge the living and the dead. Amen. Our text is the gospel, Jesus on the cross, giving paradise to a thief. We pray. Lord, this day richly bless the preaching and teaching and hearing and receiving of your word. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, on this last Sunday of our church year, I want us to consider four questions. And these four questions arise from the gospel reading, and these four questions really summarize things well about the Christian life as we end a church year. It's good to kind of summarize. And the first question today is the question of what? It's really quite an amazing, wonderful, incredible question as I get to it. What? And I asked this in Bible class a little while ago, so you guys know what I'm going to ask. What is the final word of the church here? The final word of the gospel lesson. We've had a long church year, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost. Now we're at the end of the church year. And we, every Sunday, hear three readings, Old Testament, Epistle, Gospel. We stand for the Gospel because it is the Gospel. Christ is among us. And the last official word of the Gospel of the church here is the word paradise. Isn't that spectacular? The last thing we hear from the Gospel, from Jesus, officially, paradise. This is the result. This is the climax. This is the goal. This is how it all ends, folks. This is why we have a church here and follow Christ. Why we pray. Why we praise. Why we sing. Why you get up and come to church. Why we hear the word. Why we commune. Why we suffer many things for the name of Jesus. This is what it's all about. Paradise. It is the climax. It is the goal. We can't wait. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Say it with me. Come, Lord Jesus, come and come quickly and take me to paradise. The Greek word that we translate paradise literally means garden, or some translators suggest a larger than just a garden, perhaps a park we might think of. Some think it was an old Persian word, and the Jews got the word from the Persians, and it meant not just a regular park or garden, but a king's garden. A rural park for kings and queens. Not any old park or garden. This is big. It's beautiful. It's pristine. It's perfect. Flowers, trees, animals. It's all there. Adventure, play, fun. Wow. The king's garden. The king's park for his children. And the king is Jesus. Really ties back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. And now we're back in. What's the difference? Jesus has come. Lived, died, rose. Through him, we're back in the garden. The door to paradise is opened once again. The church here begins in the desert. The next Sundays we'll go out to the desert. It's hot. We meet John the Baptist. Repent, the kingdom is near. Be baptized. We're out in the desert. It's hot and sweaty. And the church here ends in paradise. New life. Jesus turns the desert of life into a wonderful paradise. And in that paradise, there's no fires burning. And there's no bad air quality. It's perfect. Pristine. You know, I see more and more on TV this silly mannequin pose. Can we do a mannequin pose? No, you'll fall asleep. Are we that bored? Is life just that miserable here? We got to think of something new all the time, some silly new thing to do. Look at us. And it's all about us all the time. Look at me. Look at the funny thing I'm doing. In paradise, we won't do a mannequin pose. We won't be so bored. We won't be thinking about ourselves all the time, looking at ourselves. We'll be looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No time to do a mannequin pose. We'll be moving, jumping, playing, adventure, eating, singing, worshiping. Paradise, perfect life with God forever. Second question, and this is amazing. This is incredible. Who would have thought of this? The second question is who? Who gets to go to paradise? Well, Jesus, of course. He's going to go to paradise. He's the Son of God. He dies. The Spirit goes to paradise. He rises. He's back in paradise. Of course, we know Jesus. But who else does Jesus take with him in the gospel lesson? A thief? Really, Jesus? A miserable thief? And this thief must be a wretched man, or he wouldn't be being crucified by the Romans. We know the Romans usually just crucified people if they really were a horrible criminal and they wanted to make an example of them, a public example. So this guy must have been a really bad thief. Probably a chronic thief where he just kept on stealing and stealing and stealing. Just to kill the guy finally because all he does is steal. Or maybe he stole something of great, great worth. We got to kill him because he stole something that's really expensive and worth a lot. I don't know. We just know he's a really, really bad guy to be hanging on a cross. And yet Jesus takes him to paradise. And it's all so simple and so swift. Truly, truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. This is great comfort for us. This is why the story is here. This man's a bad guy. He has sinned. And he's coming in at the last moment. At the very last moment before he dies, it's a last second conversion, if you will. And yet he gets paradise that very day. It's comfort for us. If Jesus' blood covers his sins and all of them, Jesus' blood covers my sins. Jesus saved him. He will save me. His salvation is for all people, no matter what we've done. And we all have great guilt and great despair of what we've done in life, how sinful we are. Confess it as we do in church. Yet the blood of Jesus covers every last sin, even the really, really horrible ones. Know that forgiveness. He wants you to know that every day of your life. He died for you. God does not count your sins against you, not any of them. Other people may count your sins against you. God doesn't. We are reconciled fully to God. At total peace with God. That's the cross. This thief is an amazing example. We have lots of examples in life about how to live. And they're all over the Bible and in the church here. We learn about how to live from various saints. This man teaches us how to die. On this last Sunday in the church here, we think about our last day too. How are you going to die, friend? What's going to happen when you die? And he's the example of our last day. He confesses his sin. No excuses. When do you hardly ever find a criminal who says, yeah, I'm getting what I deserve? It's always, find me a lawyer and get me off. He says, I'm getting just condemnation. I'm a sinner. He cries to Jesus alone. He doesn't cry to Roman soldiers or the women or friends, anybody out there. Just to Jesus. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You can save me, Jesus. This is faith in the Son of God who alone can save the world. Thirdly, he's comforted by Jesus. Jesus ever comforts us. He will comfort you when you're dying, when we're grieving, when we're on our deathbed. Remember his words, today you shall be with me in paradise. Oh, the comfort Jesus gives immediately to the man. Those words are for you and I as we face our death. You'll be with me in paradise. Don't be afraid. I'm taking you home. And the real example also is that after all of this, the thief is quiet. He doesn't ask any more questions. He doesn't make any more pleas. No doubts. We don't hear from the thief again. He's quiet. Why? Jesus' word is good enough. You say it, Jesus, I'll believe it. I'm at peace. This is the church. Jesus says it, I believe it. He's my king. He's my Lord. I'm at peace. I can be quiet. He said it. It's enough. The third question of today. When does this thief go to paradise? And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. No more waiting. No more waiting. No more longing. Today, right now, you're going to be with me in my garden. Now our lives as Christians is one of waiting. We wait, we expect, we wait, we long for, we wait and we wait. But when we die, immediately, in the millisecond after we die and the spirit leaves the body, we are in paradise with Jesus. No more waiting. Jesus doesn't say, well, hang in there for a while longer. No. There's no purgatory. I'll put you in a purgatory where you can suffer a little bit longer. No. Jesus doesn't say, well, let me pull you down from the cross, buddy, and may you go out in your life now when I pull you down, and I'll heal you of your wounds, and you go and repay everybody for what they've done. You're a thief. Now get to work and repay every last dime you stole. When you've done all that and you've made amends, then I'll think about it. Not that either. Today, paradise. Jesus made all the amends needed. Paradise. No more waiting. I read where a man plans to swim the Atlantic Ocean. People have made long-distance swims. This guy's going to swim the whole Atlantic Ocean. And supposedly he's going to swim 4 hours in the morning, take a rest, 4 hours in the evening, sleep at night, a couple other boats going with him on his side. He's going to make it all the way over to where? It's England? No offense, Keith, back there, but I want to ask this guy, why? What's in your brain, buddy, that you want to swim across the Atlantic Ocean? Who cares? You really want to go to England that bad? You know, take a ship or take a plane. You want your 2 days of fame on the radio and news? This guy swam across the Atlantic. I mean, why? What's the goal for you? Why are you doing this? Life as Christians here is a lot like swimming across the Atlantic Ocean. It's long, and there are sharks, and there's trouble, there's darkness, wind and waves that batter us. Sometimes we feel like we're drowning. But oh, press on. We're in the boat called the church. Hold on. And oh, the goal we have as we go across in the church, the goal is not England. Sorry, Keith Hodson. The goal is eternal life, the resurrection of our bodies. The goal is paradise. So for the joy set before us, we ever bear the cross and suffer every shame. Press on, friend. Don't give up. Don't quit. And then finally, just to finish up, let's say it again. The final question is how? How does this thief get in? How are you and I going to get into paradise? I mean, Adam and Eve, they committed only one sin. And they got kicked out of the garden. One sin, they're kicked out. You're going to die. The gate's closed. This man committed many, many sins. You and I have committed many, many sins. How in the world are we going to get back in? And of course, the answer is one name, and that is the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. The whole church here is about Jesus. Say it with me, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus was born in the manger for this thief. Jesus lived the perfect life for this thief dying next to him. Jesus was dying for this thief. Jesus was resurrected from the grave for the thief, ascended on high to make a place for this thief that he'd be in paradise. And friend, know that Jesus, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, lay in the manger for you. He lived a perfect life that you can't ever live for you. He died for all of your sins. He rose again for you on Easter. He ascended on high. He's washed you in the waters of baptism. He feeds you his body and blood. Forgiveness and grace for you. He's the way, and there's no other way. Soon here in Knoxville, we're going to have the Fantasy of Trees, or the Festival of Trees, and I think First Lutheran School made a nice tree. And there'll be some 300, 400 fancy, nice trees. Go see the Fantasy of Trees, and oh, look at all these beautiful trees. And go ahead and go, it's wonderful. But we Christians just need one tree. And it is a beautiful tree. Didn't look like it, but it is a beautiful tree. It's an old rugged cross that the Son of God bled on and died on and said, it is finished. That's the tree we look at on the last Sunday of the church year. It's the tree that we will look at next Sunday, the first Sunday of the church year. And every Sunday in between, all 50 in between, and all the Wednesdays in between, and all the special services in between, we ever look to the cross, the tree of trees. My salvation. So we begin a church here in the desert with John the Baptist. We end the church here in paradise with Jesus and a thief. We're not there yet. We press on. We fight the good fight of faith. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Our salvation is near. Amen.